Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Gun Moha. So today is September 9th, 2021.
Recording in progress.
September 9th, 2021, with the VIHE, and we're studying the Nectar of Devotion. And today we're studying the Southern Ocean, and today we're studying the chapter on Sattvika Bhava. This is the devotional mellow nectar ocean. Studying Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, Stai Bhava. And today we're on chapter 28 of the Nectar of Devotion. This is the third wave in the Southern Ocean. All right, and Srila Prabhupada defines this as existential ecstasy. We are calling this involuntary expression. This is our very simple chart. Of course, as we go through, we find that relationships are far more complex than this. So this is where the Stai Bhava is stimulated by Vibhava, agitated by Vyabhichari Bhava, and results in involuntary actions. Okay, so a basic summary is when love for Krishna in the heart interacts with the life air in various ways, it produces involuntary symptoms in the body. There are types and causes of such symptoms as well as reflections of such symptoms. And the chapter is divided up into the definition of Sattvika Bhava, types of Sattvika Bhava, the cause of Sattvika Bhava, the eight Sattvika Bhavas, intensities of Sattvika Bhavas, and false forms of Sattvika Bhavas. So we're going to look now at the definition. Now, to define Sattvika Bhava, first Rupa Goswami defines sattva. And I want to emphasize, and this cannot be emphasized enough, that this is not sattva guna. We are not talking about the material mode of nature called goodness. We're talking about something else. We're talking about Vasuddha Sattva. We're talking about a state of Sattva. And the definition here of Sattva is the heart becomes overwhelmed by ratis. And Rupa Goswami is generally, and we'll get to this more in the chapters on Stai Bhava, but he's generally using rati as a synonym for Stai Bhava. So the heart gets overwhelmed by one's basic relationship with Krishna, either a direct relationship like servitude, friendship, parental, conjugal, or secondary like wonder, joy, fear. And this results in a state called sattva. So when the heart becomes overwhelmed by one's basic relationship, this results in a state called sattva. The heart is being transformed by love. Simple definition. The heart is being transformed by love. This results in something called sattva. Now, why did Srila Prabhupada use the term existential ecstatic love? We had this, someone asked this question. Any questions about, we had other questions also about Srila Prabhupada's terminology. There's several times, it's at least three times in the Nectar Devotion, probably more, where Srila Prabhupada states that he really wasn't able to find good English words for translating. And as we pointed out before, Nectar Devotion was published in 1969. So at that point in ISKCON's history, Srila Prabhupada didn't have English-speaking disciples who were able to help him find suitable English words for these very difficult, very esoteric Sanskrit terms. And one of the difficulties we have with Nectar Devotion is a difficulty that Srila Prabhupada himself pointed out, was that it was difficult for him to find the right English words. Now, my own guess is that Prabhupada chose the word existential because sattvika is based on this principle of sattva, and sattva means existence. So the ecstatic love that comes from existence. And that's my guess. All right. And just want to remind all of you that if you want to ask questions that I'm going to integrate in the class, it needs to be done in the week before the class. Okay, so what's the difference between an Anubhav, which we studied last week, and a Sattvic Bhav? So, by the way, you're going to be tested on these definitions in about 1 minute. Woo-hoo. So, the transformations which arrive only from sattva are called sattvic bhavs. If a transformation in the body comes from sattva and intelligence, it's called an anubhav, like dancing. So the heart's overwhelmed, the rati in the heart is overwhelmed and reaches this state of sattva, and it's like, I want to dance. But just becoming stunned, you're not saying, I'm going to become stunned, it just happens. And someone asked the question, what's the difference between rolling on the ground and fainting? Well, again, rolling on the ground is something that intelligence is involved in. Like Akura comes to Vrindavan, he rolls on the ground. Fainting, there is no deliberation. There's no intelligence. You just start rolling on the ground spontaneously and involuntarily. All right. So I want everybody right now, we're just going to take a couple minutes. Please write in the chat window. All participants, please write in the chat window how we're defining sattva and how we're defining sattvika bhava. Okay, we're just going to take a couple minutes for this. Please write in the chat window how we're defining sattva and how we're defining sattvika bhava. How is Rupa Goswami defining these? Please write this now in the chat window. So define both. Sattva, very nice. And sattvika bhava. Everyone, please. Okay, we want to avoid the word goodness because, again, this sattva is not the mode of goodness. So just to... sattva is the state that happens in the heart when the heart gets transformed by love. Yes. Excellent. Excellent, very good. Yes, very nice. Okay, everyone, please write in the chat. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to go on. So there's types of sattvika bhavas. And there's three main types of sattvika bhavas. There's snigdha, digdha, and ruksha. Snigdha, digdha, and ruksha. Snigdha and digdha. And snigdha can be translated as soft. Srila Prabhupada uses the word moist. Digdha can be translated as mixed, soft, and harsh. Srila Prabhupada uses the word burnt. Ruksha can be translated as harsh. Srila Prabhupada uses the word dried up. And again, somebody asked a question, why is Prabhupada using the words moist, burnt, and dried up? And again, the answer is that Srila Prabhupada himself explains that he really didn't have good English translations for these words. So he was trying to find English translations. Again, it was in 69 where he didn't have disciples who could help him with these translations. Also being 1969 means that Srila Prabhupada had not been around so many native English speakers for that many years, that we see the longer that Srila Prabhupada was working with people who were native English speakers, obviously the more adept his translations became, but these are difficult words to translate. Okay, so snigdha, it's experienced by devotees, and it's related to their sthaibhav, or their basic relationship with Krishna, either a primary sthaibhav, which is neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental conjuga, or a secondary, which is like joy, wonder, anger, fear, etc. Digdha, it's experienced by devotees who have a sthaibhav with Krishna, but it's not directly related to their sthaibhav. And ruksha is these symptoms, these sattvika bhava symptoms, but in people who don't have a relationship of love with Krishna. So it's a semblance. They have aratyabhasa. They have a semblance of love for Krishna. And one may think, oh, that's a sattvika bhava, but it's really just a semblance of sattvika bhava. And we'll be getting into that in more depth. Okay, so first we're going to look at the snigdha sattvika bhava, soft or moist. So again, this is a sattvika bhava that comes from someone who has a basic relationship with Krishna, called the rati or the sthaibhav. And their sattvika bhav is connected, it's directly connected to their primary or secondary sthaibhav. Okay? So we have a primary, a snigdha sattvika bhava, soft or moist. And primary is when it comes from neutrality, servitude, friendship, or conjugal love. Mm-hmm. And the rati, the change, that sattva change in the heart, the involuntary system was motivated by that relationship. Okay, so Rupa Goswami gives an example of digdha, which means it's soft or moist, and it's primary. So it's both primary, based on a primary basic relationship. I know there's a lot of terminology here. And therefore, it is soft and moist. And the example he gives is that Radharani was weaving a garland of kunda flowers, and when she heard Krishna's flute, she became stunned. So this is considered primary because it directly came from her conjugal relationship with Krishna. It was the direct manifestation of her conjugal relationship. Okay, now we're going to look at a snigdha sattvika bhava, soft, moist sattvika bhava, which is secondary. So it's coming from one of the secondary sthaibhavs, one of the secondary ratis. It's still coming from rati, but it's coming from a secondary rati. So this is the indirect relationships: humor, wonder, chivalry, compassion or lamentation, anger, fear, and horror about Krishna. So this is somebody who has rati for Krishna, but their involuntary expression was motivated by the secondary relationship. So here's an example. This is when Krishna went to Mathura, and Mother Yasoda was rebuking the king of Mathura, who could be explained as either Nanda or Kamsa, and her face turned red in anger. So the rati that was in her heart was a secondary rati. It was a secondary rati of anger. So it wasn't her primary parental rati, which is, of course, always there, but her primary parental rati was eclipsed in this moment by a secondary rati of anger, and it was the sattva coming from the secondary rati of anger that produced the sattvika bhava of her face turning red. Okay, let's look at this chart. So a snigdha sattvika bhava, a soft or moist, somebody has a primary sattvika bhava. They're stimulated by some vibhava, which gives rise to emotions, and those emotions can be either a secondary sthaibhav or a vyavichari bhav, and we will discuss Later, when we discuss Vyabhichari bhavas, we'll discuss later about the differences, and when we discuss Sai Baba also. This produces a state of sattva. This sattva then gives rise to an involuntary expression of a sattvika bhav. So this slide really shows the relationship. What do we mean by a digda or soft moist sattvika bhav? I mean a snigda, sorry. Now we're going to digda. So digda is mixed, soft, and harsh. So here we're again starting with a person who is a devotee, who has genuine love in a basic relationship with Krishna. So again, we're talking about a devotee who has a relationship with Krishna of servitude, parental, etc. But the emotion that overcomes them is not coming from their, from a sthai bhav. The emotion that's overcoming them is coming from something else. Now, just this very concept is fascinating. Because what this concept means is that a nichasiddha, there's examples given of nichasiddhas, nichasiddha, kripasiddha, sadhanasiddha, or even somebody who's sadhaka, but who has already developed their rati with Krishna, at least to some extent, is going to also have emotions that are not coming from that relationship with Krishna. Interesting, isn't it? But that emotion appears along with the relationship with Krishna. It connects to the relationship with Krishna. This produces a sattvika bhav that's called digda, which Srila Prabhupada translates as burnt, where you could translate as mixed, soft, and harsh. All right, here's an example. That Mother Yasoda had a dream about Putana appearing at night. We know it was a dream because Putana did not appear at night. And she got the sattvika bhav of shaking. Then she looked for Krishna. So let's look at this example. She began to shake because of seeing Putana in a dream. Now, digda doesn't have to have something to do with a dream. By the way, this slide is from the commentary of Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But the dream thing is not what's at issue. Someone asked that question. The point is that the sattvika bhava, the shaking, did not come either from her parental love for Krishna or from fear about Krishna. She was just scared about Putana. She was just feeling fear about Putana. Then, so the shaking came from her fear about Putana, and then, oh, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? So the rati came along with the sattvika bhav. So it's considered harsh, because digda means mixed, soft, and harsh. So it's considered harsh from initially not being connected with her love for Krishna, and soft from eventual connection with her love to Krishna. Now, eventual happens very fast. Okay, so further explanation. So a secondary rati of fear, which would have made this a snigda rather than a digda, would be for Krishna's safety. So she wasn't afraid for Krishna's safety initially. Initially, she was just scared, you know. She has this scary dream where there's Putana, and she's just scared. So the reaction to her dream, she started trembling. But she always has real love for Krishna. So even though the fear originally didn't come from her love for Krishna is always there, so it's a digda sattvika bhav. All right, so if we're going to contrast the snigda, which is the soft moist, and the digda, which is mixed soft and harsh with burnt. Okay, so in this digda, the shaking of her body came only from seeing the dreadful dream, and then it became attached to Krishna with snigda. Yasoda was angry, but this anger was directly due to separation from Krishna. So it was a secondary sthai bhav. This caused change of color and choking of voice. So it is called snigda. Now please pay very much attention, because we are also going to test you on this. You're going to be explaining this to a partner. So please pay close attention to this difference. Then we have the last category, Riksha Sattvika Bhava, which is also going to be later explained in the second part of this class as one of the Sattva Bhava Abhasa is one of the semblance. It looks like a sattvic above. So this is people, they don't have a developed Staibha. They don't have developed Rati, but they hear about Krishna, they're involved with Krishna, and they display some ecstatic symptoms. So this is called harsh or dried up. So these are materialistic people, somehow in contact with a devotee. They sometimes may show some crying or shaking or whatever. So these are people who have shadow or reflective ecstasy, which was defined in the Eastern Ocean of Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu in 1344. Rupa Goswami explained people who have shadow ecstasy or reflective ecstasy. And if someone has shadow or reflective ecstasy, then they may also have a shadow or reflection of the sattvic above, which is called a ruksha sattvic above, or dried up. So remember that rati is the cause of bliss, right? It was sattva interacting in the heart, but they don't have rati. They have a reflection of rati, and therefore it's dried up. We have here these wilted flowers. They're sattvic above, they're experiencing something, but it's dried up. So here we have a nice little chart. So this snigdha, also called soft or moist, the digdha, mixed, soft and harsh or burnt, and the ruksha, harsh or dried up. So snigdha and digdha, the moist and the burnt, both occur in people who love Krishna. The snigdha or moist, their emotions are coming from their basic relationship with Krishna, which, and in digdha or burnt, their emotions are not arising from their basic relationship with Krishna. In ruksha, their emotions are not arising from a basic relationship with Krishna, and they do not have developed their basic relationship with Krishna. Okay, we're going to do something we haven't done before, and we're going to have breakout rooms of just two people each, and you only have 5 minutes. You only have 5 minutes in this breakout room, only two people each. Explain to a partner the three types of sattvic above. So each person is going to have about 2 minutes. 2.5 minutes for my mathematicians. Each person is going to have 2.5 minutes to explain to their partner the three types of sattvic bhava. All right. Now we're going to go on to the cause of sattvic bhavas. Now, of course, we already talked about the general cause, being that the emotions in the heart of love for Krishna create a state called sattva, not sattva-guna, which then produces involuntary bodily reactions. So a simple summary of the cause are emotions causing internal transformations that produce external effects. So this is a simple, and please again pay attention because we are going to have discussion based on the causes. So emotions causing internal transformation that produces external effects. Emotions causing internal transformation that produce external effects. Okay, so to get a little bit more technical, Rupa Goswami explains when the heart becomes overwhelmed with a bhava related to Krishna, it offers itself to the prana with force. The prana changes and disturbs the body, and then the sattvic bhavas become visible in the devotee's body. So this is a more detailed analysis that Rupa Goswami gives. So the prana, after the heart has become overwhelmed with emotion and offered itself to the prana, then takes shelter of earth, water, fire, or ether, sometimes of air, which is the basis of the prana itself, and moves throughout the body in a disturbed state. So Rupa Goswami analyzes that, Shakti Swarupini, I hope you can change. We're just about to have a breakout room, and this is going to be 4 to 5 people each for 10 minutes. So this
yes, Mataji, I'm ready.
Very good. You are expert. Okay, so here Rupa Goswami has analyzed which element in the body in relationship that's being disturbed by the prana results in what sattvic bhavas. Now, we had a question for this class about, well, Rupa Goswami is scrutinizing, he studied all the revealed scriptures. Where did he get this system from? What scriptures? Was this his own realization? The answer is, we've mentioned before, but it bears repeating, this is from the system developed by Bharat Muni in relation to theater, in relation to drama. So the various transformations that happen in relationship to drama and in relationship to life in general. And Rupa Goswami is establishing this personal philosophy that in spiritual life, this is all there. So now Rupa does not, the question also arose that is there any explanation as to why in a particular case the prana interacts with earth or with air or with space, and he does not. So why, when some person there, Rati, becomes transformed into sattva, then the prana gets disturbed, and for them the prana interacts with water and they cry, for someone else the prana interacts with fire and they change color. He does not explain what causes that. And he does explain some emotional cause and certain sattvic abhavs, but any emotional cause can cause any sattvic abhavs, and there can be a whole plethora of sattvic abhavs that happen. And of course this happens on a subtle level. Okay, what we're going to discuss now in breakout rooms, please listen very carefully. I'm going to go into breakout rooms for 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about the similarity and the difference, between these symptoms in material and in spiritual life. Because in material life, people faint, they sweat, they cry, they get goosebumps. I mean, this happens in material bodies. All of these symptoms happen in material bodies from material causes. And here we're talking about these symptoms happening from spiritual causes. So what's the same and what's the different? And you might also want to bring in, someone asked the question, don't pure devotees also have these symptoms from material causes? I mean, a pure devotee with rati might just shiver because the temperature is cold outside, right? So there might be some completely external physical cause even for a devotee. Okay, so we're going to go now into breakout rooms for 10 minutes. What's the same and what's the difference between these symptoms in material life for materialists and these symptoms for pure devotees in spiritual ecstasy? Okay, so we can start the group. So I hope you all came up with some good... I hope you all came up with some good realizations there. All right, now we're going to look at our really fun part, symptoms and examples. And we're going to finish looking at this after the break. And I'd like you to please take some notes and think about what's your favorite one that you're going to be talking about after the break. After the break, we're going to discuss some more, and then we're going to get a group and we're going to talk about what's our favorite one, what pastimes are connected with that favorite one. Somebody needs to mute themselves. There's someone who needs to mute themselves. Please mute yourself. Thank you. All right. So the eight sattvic abhavas, again, this is according to Bart Mooney that Rupa is using here in Transcendental Life, are paralysis, perspiration, horripilation, which means hair standing on end, choked voice, quivering, change of color, tears, and fainting. All right. So, paralysis, stamba, which also means like a pillar. So this can be caused by ecstatic joy, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, or anger, immobility of the action and knowledge acquiring senses. Now, somebody asked a question about, some of these sound like they're secondary sthayibhavs, these emotions, and some of them sound like they're vyavicharibhavs. Which are they? And the answer is they can be either. And yes, there are secondary sthayibhavs that have a similar name and similar quality to a vyavicharibhav. We will be discussing differences between secondary sthayibhavs and vyavicharibhavs later when we look at the section on vyavicharibhavs coming up next week. And then we look at the secondary sthayibhavs in a few weeks. But these emotions can be either one. All right, here's an example, paralysis from joy. Rupa Goswami, you know, he gives this, paralysis can happen from joy, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, anger, and he gives an example of each. So, the damsels of Raja, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchange of glances, used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duty. From Bhagavatam 3.2.14. paralysis from fear. Devaki seeing Krishna surrounded by the wrestlers in the wrestling arena, she became stunned. Paralysis from astonishment. Two examples. Lord Brahma seeing when the cowherd boys and calves manifested as Vishnu, and the residents of Vrindavan seeing little Krishna holding Govardhan. Now someone asked a question here about the verse from Bhagavatam 10.13.56 being quoted here by Rupa Goswami, that Lord Brahma became like a clay doll. So in other words, he was animated, right? He was in a normally animated state, and then his astonishment, his wonder, that this mixed within his heart produced this stunned state, and in his stunned state, he looked like a clay doll. So this is similar to saying when the gopis saw Krishna go to Mathura, they looked like painted pictures. All right, we have paralysis from lamentation. The demigods seeing Krishna enter in Agasura became stunned out of lamentation. Again, this could be either a vyavichari bhav of lamentation or a secondary sthayi bhav of lamentation. Paralysis from anger. When Ashwatthama began to shoot arrows at Krishna, Arjuna, although normally he was very hasty to respond to an enemy, but he became motionless because he was so angry at this enemy of Krishna. Okay, now how did the clay doll become silent before the village deity? Well, the village deity was the Lord as Vishnu forms, and so therefore Lord Brahma became silent like a clay doll. So just like a little child might bring a doll in front of the deity. So when Lord Brahma saw the Lord, he turned into a clay doll, basically, by his astonishment. Okay, we have perspiration that can come from joy, fear, or anger. So perspiration from joy. Radharani pierced by Cupid when she saw Krishna. Perspiration from fear. Now, this picture is of Jatila, but this story is Raktaka, Krishna's servant, who he saw Krishna disguised as Abhimanyu. He thought it was the real Abhimanyu. He starts rebuking him, "You rascal!" And then he realizes, "Oh my God, I'm rebuking my master Krishna." And Raktaka has somewhat of a reverential relationship with Krishna in servitude. And so he started perspiring. It's like, "I've offended my master." Garuda didn't want to interfere with the Govardhan Leela, but he was really afraid. He was afraid. I want to interfere with the Govardhan Leela, but I can't. Krishna will be angry with me if I interfere with the Govardhan Leela. So he was perspiring out of fear. Okay, standing of hairs on end, horripilation, which can be caused by astonishment, joy, chivalry, or fear. Again, these can be vyavichari bhavs or sthayi bhavs, and it's horripilation, hair standing on end, and a sense of thrill. So this is an example from astonishment is Mother Yasoda's hair stood on end when she saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth. Another example from 10.13.10, the gopis saying that the earth's hairs were standing on end, either from Vamandev having stood on the earth or from Varaha having picked up the earth. Hair standing on end from chivalry. Sri Dhamma was anxious to fight with Krishna when Krishna blew his horn, and so his hair stood on end. From fear, when Arjuna saw the universal form, his hair stood on end. Choked voice that can come from sorrow, astonishment, anger, joy, or fear. So from lamentation, Radharani, her voice was faltering when she asked Yasoda, "Don't let Akura take Krishna to Mathura." And Lord Brahma, after he stopped being a stunned clay doll, then he was still having a sattvic bhav, because once he started praying to Krishna, he had a faltering voice. 10.13.64 Bhagavatam. All right, then we have voice choke from anger. So when Krishna asked the gopis to go back to their homes, they apparently became very angry and they started choking, talking with faltering voices. From joy. So Akura, when he saw all the planets in the Yamuna, his voice was choking while he was praying. This is 10.39.56-57. Voice choke from fear. This is really funny. So this is when Patri Krishna's servant was supposed to be holding the flute, and then his voice, he changed color, two sattvic above, his voice choked up, and he was afraid because he had lost the flute. All right, shivering or quivering of the body from fear, anger, or joy. So here's some fear. When Sankachuta was trying to grab Radharani, she cried out, "Oh, son of the king of Raja!" And her whole body was shaking. So quivering from anger, when Sahadev heard Shishupal criticizing Krishna, he was so angry, he started shaking like a mountain during an earthquake. From joy, when Radharani told one of the gopis, "Don't let Krishna near me," but actually she was really happy and she was shaking in joy. All right, change of complexion. So emotional causes, grief, which is also lamentation, anger, or fear. And Rupa says, in grief, the changes can be to white, gray, or black, in anger, to red. And there's a commentary that this anger can also mean when the women in Krishna's Leela get angry at him. So that's also a kind of embarrassment, like in this world when we blush out of embarrassment. So fear changes to black and sometimes white. And sometimes there's a red color from joy, but that's more unusual. So usually red color is from embarrassment and anger. Someone had a question on that. All right, change of complexion from grief. So in separation, the residents of Vrindavan turned white. Narada was commenting on this. All right, change from anger. And here Balaram's complexion turned red when he saw the assistance of Kamsa ready to fight with Krishna. He looked like a reddish moon when the moon first comes up and has kind of a reddish color. Change of complexion from fear. We have Indra, whose complexion turned blackish when he saw Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. All right, going on to tears. These can be caused by joy, anger, or grief. Joy makes cool tears. Anger causes warm tears. And Jiva Goswami says you could also have a runny nose. All right. Oh, tears from joy. Rukmini, she was criticizing her joyful tears that blocked her from seeing Krishna. Anger, we have two examples. Satyabhama, who was angry due to affection. She was criticizing Rukmini. And Bhima, when he wanted to kill Shishupal, such a nice statement. It said he wanted to kill Shishupal when Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna, but because Krishna didn't order him to do so, he became morose with anger. It is described that there were hot tears covering his eyes as a thin cloud covers the evening moon. And when he was shedding these angry tears, he also looked beautiful. Tears from grief. When Krishna and Rukmini were talking, and Krishna was apparently threatening to leave her, so her tears mixed with her black mascara and the kumkum, and she was so aggrieved, her voice was also choking out. So two sattvic bhavs. Fainting. So this is the absence of action of the body and absence of mental function that can distinguish the self and objects. It can come from happiness and distress, and it's categorized by falling on the ground and so forth. So fainting from happiness. And when the gopis were searching for Krishna, and all of a sudden he came out of the bushes, some of them fainted from happiness. Fainting from distress when Krishna was going to Mathura, and the gopis fainted as described in 10:39:15. All right, we're going to look at some more examples after the break, and then we're going to have discussion on your favorite sattvic bhav and any pastime related to that. Right now we are taking a 10-minute break. Again, please take a real break. Get away from your phone or computer. Take a real break. We will reconvene in...
Recording in progress.
Hare Krishna. So we are resuming. All right. Now, like I did before with the anubhavs, I thought it might be useful to look at some other parts of the nectar devotion to see about sattvic bhavs related to specific sai bhavs. So here we're going to look at examples from the Western Ocean to particular sai bhavs. So in neutrality, there's all the sattvic abhavs, but not fainting. And servitude, friendship, and conjugal, the devotees experience all the sattvic abhavs. Now, what's particularly interesting is that in parental, there is an extra sattvic abhav for the ladies in parental, and that is spontaneous flowing of milk from their breasts. All right, now looking at the Northern Ocean, are there specific sattvic abhavs related to specific secondary sthaibhavs? So for the secondary sthaibhav of wonder, there's paralysis, tear, and hair standing on end. And these pictures are again of examples given in that section. For the secondary sthaibhav of fear, all of the sattvic abhavas except for tears. For the secondary sthaibhav of disgust or horror, there's quivering of the body, hair standing on end, and perspiration. And for the secondary sthaibhavs of anger, joy or humor, lamentation or compassion, and chivalry, which has four subdivisions, all eight sattvic abhavas. All right, we're also going to look at an example from Krishnadas Kaviraj's Govinda Lilamrita. So this is Krishna announces his arrival in the forest by playing his flute. And he says, the non-moving entities began to tremble. Moving entities became paralyzed. Stones became liquid with tears. Colored flowers turned white. Flowers began to ooze tears of sap. Warbling birds became choked up. And creepers birthed forth with new shoots like hair standing on end. In this way, the Vrindavan forest became glorious with sattvic abhavas. All right. So I'm going to put in the chat what we're going to be doing here. We're going to be discussing one sattvic abhava. Each person will choose one sattvic abhava that you find most interesting, and possibly, if there's time, a story pastime that illustrates it. So this will be the discussion in your group. So we can have breakout groups now for 10 minutes, please. 4 to 5 people in a group for 10 minutes.
Recording in progress.
Hare Krishna. Well, I hope that was Chushanti Cha, Ramanti Cha for everyone. Okay, now we're going to return to the Southern Ocean Third Wave. And we're going to look at the intensity of the sattvic abhavas. And again, we're going to have a group discussion on this, so please take some notes. All right, so there's three ways of looking at intensity. One is how long the sattvic abhav lasts for. Does it last for just a second? Does it last for an hour? And how pervasive is it in different parts of the body? You know, is it just your hair is just standing on end on your arms, or is it standing on end on your whole body? And the nature of the sattvic abhav itself, how much that nature is being exhibited. Now, regarding pervasiveness, tears and choking of the voice are localized. So if someone's crying or their voice is choking, how are we going to look at intensity in terms of pervasiveness? And if tears are accompanied by swelling of the eyes, whiteness of the eyes, and the pupils become colorful, then crying is considered pervasive. If the voice is breaking, becoming weak, and fluctuating in tone, then it's considered pervasive. Okay. All right, then degrees of intensity. Talked about intensity, pervasiveness, and the essential nature. So intensity is defined as smoky, luminous, brilliant, and very brilliant. So we have also the Sanskrit terms. And so how are these defined? So smoky, slight sattvic abhavas, maybe one or two, but they can be concealed. Luminous is two or three sattvic abhavas at once, and they can be concealed, but it's very difficult. Brilliant is 3 to 5 sattvic abhavas at once, and they're not concealed, very brilliant, five or more at once unconcealed, and then we have another possible category of supremely brilliant, intense udipana, whose sense, intense brilliant state in Mahabhav. All right, so in smoky, they can be concealed. Now, how can they be concealed? By adopting a mood of indifference to the rati. This is really interesting, and we had some question about this, that it, because remember the sattvika bhavs come when there's some emotional disturbance to the rati in the heart that creates a state of sattva. So the way a person conceals one or two slight sattvika bhavs in smoky is they kind of turn away from the rati. They turn away from the emotion. They become indifferent to the love that's happening in their heart. Interesting, huh? Okay, so here we have example of smoky. When a performer of sacrifice heard the glories of Krishna killing Agasura, the tips of his eyes got a few tears, the hair stood up only on his cheeks, and he had a few drops of perspiration on his nose. And so his lotus face was shining. So you see, they're not very pervasive and they're very slight. All right, an example of luminous. So Krishna, when the sound... Oh, I put the quotation marks in the wrong place. Krishna, when the sound of your flute comes from the forest and arrives at my ears... Make a note of this, slide 3, it's in the wrong place. My hands begin to shake and I cannot quickly pick the gunja berries. My eyes become filled with tears, and I cannot immediately recognize the peacock feather. My two thighs become paralyzed, and I cannot easily walk one step. Okay. Then we have the brilliant 3 to 5 sattvic abhavs at once unconcealed. When Narada saw Krishna appear before him, he lost control of his body. Due to trembling of his body, for a long time he couldn't play his veena. Due to a choked voice, he couldn't recite words of praise. Because his eyes were filled with tears, he couldn't see Krishna. He couldn't play his veena. He couldn't pray. He couldn't see Krishna because he was overwhelmed with these three sattvic abhavs at once. Then you have Udipta, very brilliant, 5 or more at once. And the example is, today the inhabitants of Gokula are covered in perspiration. Out of separation from Krishna, their limbs are paralyzed, their bodily hairs are standing on end. In distress, they converse with choked voices. Their complexion has faded because of the heat of separation, and they become wet from a profuse flow of tears, and they're repeatedly fainting. So this is very brilliant. And then we have this exceptional case of supremely brilliant, supremely brilliant. And this is in Mahabhav. So if we look at the level of intensity, Rupa Goswami does not give any information about Digda. I'm going to assume that Digda is the same as Snigda. So Digda, or soft from Yo Rati, can have all the levels of intensity. Ruksha, which is from a shadow or reflection of Rati, generally is only at the smoky level. But sometimes in festivals with devotees, it goes up to the blazing level. And here we see the types of sattvika bhava are related to intensity, although not related to the type of sattvika bhava. So someone asked that question. It's not that the different sattvika bhavas can have different levels of intensities. It's related to these types. Okay. We've got another 10-minute breakout group. Now here we're going to discuss, and I'll put it in the chat, what we're going to be discussing here. So we're going to discuss why and when a devotee would want to hide ecstatic symptoms in this world and in the spiritual world. So why would someone in the spiritual world want to hide their ecstatic symptoms? And you can also discuss situations where the ecstatic symptoms are so great that they cannot be hidden, and why such situations occur. Okay, so this is what you're going to be discussing in your groups. We have 10 minutes, so if we could start the groups now.
Recording in progress.
All right, well, I hope you all found that enlivening. Now we're going to go on to our last section, which is the different types of abhasa. An abhasa is a shadow or reflection of a sattvic abhava. So something that looks like an ecstatic symptom in relationship to Krishna, but it's not really. And, you know, this is different from something which is obviously just a completely mundane emotion, because it looks like it is in a spiritual ecstatic sattvic abhava. And so from superior to inferior. So the best is the rati abhasa. So a person has a reflection of love in their heart. Sattva abhasa is they have a reflection of sattva in the heart. Nisattva, nothing. And pratipa, nisattva, there's no emotions. Pratipa, there's oppositional emotions. So let's look at this again. So rati abhasa means, this is the same as the ruksha sattvic abhava. Remember we had the three types, the snigdha, the digdha, and the ruksha, right? The moist, the burnt, and the dried up. So this is the same as the dried up ruksha sattvic abhava. So there's, you're by your, near an advanced devotee, but it's not your rati. You're reflecting their rati. Then sattva abhasa. So remember, sattva here is a change in heart. So your change in heart is material. It's not actually spiritual. Or somehow you're hard-hearted, but you've heard Krishna Katha. Nisattva, there's nothing going on. You're just an actor. And pratipa, you have emotions, but they're in opposition to Krishna. They're not in love. Okay, let's look at the first one, which is Ratyabhasa. Ratyabhasa bhava sattvika bhasa. So there's a touch of love. So the symptoms are coming from a shadow or reflective ecstasy. There's a superficial attraction to the Lord that's caused by association with an ecstatic devotee. So an example, someone living in Varanasi, and the implication here is that they're interested in liberation. They glorified the qualities of Hari repeatedly in the assembly of sannyasis, and doing so their hair stood on end and their eyes moistened with tears. And Prabhupada notes that chanting of Hare Krishna is so nice that it will eventually melt even the heart of impersonalists. So there's some semblance of some reflection of a rati. All right, let's look at the sattva-bhasa bhava sattvika-bhasa. This is a touch of emotion. So the other was a touch of love. This is a touch of emotions. So somebody is, they have a soft heart. They have a naturally, materially soft heart. They're overcome with a trace of joy or astonishment. That's the first possibility. Second possibility, they're actually hard-hearted, but they're around devotees of the Lord, and so they sometimes cry, Prabhupada says. So the example given is in festivals of chanting. Rupa Goswami gives this, Prabhupada gives this example. In festivals of chanting, whether their heart is naturally soft or whether their heart is naturally hard, they can show these reflections of ecstasy. And we've seen this, right? We take out the Harinam party of a big Harinam festival, and some people will display ecstatic symptoms. All right, the example given here is when staunch logicians, without any trace of devotional service, without actually understanding the transcendental glories of the Lord, sit down to hear the glories of the Lord, they appear to be melting and shedding tears. All right, now the nisattva. There's no sattva. There's no emotions. There's not even a shadow. There's not even a reflection of joy or astonishment affecting the heart or the body. So this is an actor. Just like in any play, in any drama, so the actor is crying. But they're crying by practice. They're not actually crying about anything, right? Or they're fainting, they've just practiced to look like they're showing symptoms. Could these be sahajiyas? It depends. So some sahajiyas are going to be engaging in this just theatrical display, and some sahajiyas probably have an abhas of rati or an abhas of sattva. But some of them are practice actors, and a practice actor is generally a cheater. They want to look like they're an advanced devotee, and they're not. You know, it's just when Prabhupada talks about professional reciters, you know, I remember reading about this very famous Christian. He was a great Christian preacher, and that was how he lived. As a Christian preacher, that was his livelihood. At one point, he decided that he didn't believe in God anymore. He became an atheist, and he didn't know what to do. So he was going on preaching Christianity while being an atheist. And then his wife said to him, if you can be a professional Christian, why not be a professional atheist? And then he started preaching atheism as vigorously as he has preached Christianity, and he made his living that way. But at least for some time, he was preaching Christianity, whereas internally he was an atheist. So that's the nisattva. Okay, then we have the pratipa. Pratipa is, these are people who have there's something to do with Krishna. They may be in Krishna's pastimes, and they have some emotions that appear to be in relationship with Krishna, but they're against Krishna. So an example is kamsa. This is from anger. It can be from anger or fear. Red lower lip and trembling upper lip. Kamsa's face looked like the sun red with anger. But these emotions are not coming from love. Another example of fear is the wrestlers. Seeing Krishna in the arena, the wrestler's face turned pale. Drops of perspiration appeared on his forehead. It seemed that his forehead, like a conch shell, was offering argya with great reverence to the goddess of liberation who had just arrived in front of him. Such beautiful poetry. One of the participants wrote to me about the incredible Sanskrit poetry in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all of the alankara, all of the poetic ornaments, both in the verses that Rupa cites and in the verses that Rupa writes. So the wrestlers may appear to be having sattvika bhavas in relationship with Krishna, but they're not. They're actually against Krishna. All right. So I want to discuss why Rupa is bringing up these false forms. What's the practical value in our lives? So this is not going to be a breakout group. I want to just open this up. We don't have a lot of time. But just anybody, if you want to raise your hand and suggest what's our practical value in knowing these semblances of the sattvika bhavas. So Rupa's brought up these four semblances. Okay, Rukmini, yes?
So one important point is that we are seeking her higher association, and perhaps when we're starting out, we're even seeking a guru. So we might be impressed by somebody because of their symptoms. And this is actually this is one of the reasons why actual devotees often try to conceal their symptoms, because someone can do that, like for instance the practiced acting can be to attract followers, but on the other hand it may happen truly. So then, you know, then if we're able to understand what makes it, you know, true and what makes it a semblance, then that will help us to find our association. We're supposed to find association, which is snigdha, sajatiya, and shresht. So, you know, like-minded, senior, and affectionate, and the snigdha might even include that, you know, they, I mean, if we see that they have these snigdha symptoms, then that might be attractive to us.
Thank you. Kasturika. Yeah, you're a little warbly, but...
So I was thinking of how it can act as a checkpoint for us, especially in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. I keep hearing that we devotees often have the symptoms of pure devotee syndrome. They think that the peer devotee is already, but the consistency is missing. But when we can check with the peer devotees how they're consistent and how their practices are. Yeah, so thank you for that question.
Yeah, that's very insightful. Lalita Apritimayi?
Hare Krishna. Mine was the same point, that we don't consider ourselves to be very elevated, like the top very pure devotees. And it's also to safeguard ourselves and the other innocent devotees from the showmakers, so that they don't exploit the devotees.
Okay, thank you. Chaitanya Premaprabhu?
this enables us to know.
You got
muted.
Okay.
And therefore, we know how much energy we need to put in order to go ahead. Actually, we are stagnated, or myself, I'm not very advanced. But there are truly advanced devotees who are far ahead of me. Therefore, it makes me become humble also. That yes, I'm not yet. For example, when you go to Vrindavan, you see devotees going, doing parikram, Govardhan parikram, offering obeisances and putting stones. I'm walking with food, and sometimes I wear slippers. Because I see that I'm very, very far away. I've not even started comparing myself to them. So it's a booster. You know, it serves as impetus for me to become more serious in my devotional service.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you. Prabhupada Priya.
I was just thinking of the expression that everything that glitters is not gold. So, when we see these symptoms, it's not necessarily state of, you know, it's actually like transcendental sattvika bhavas, but, you know, whether in others or in ourselves too, we should, you know, reflect on it a little analytically and see like where it's really coming from and whether it's the real thing or not.
Very nice. Thank you. All right, so we have discussed now the definition of a sattvika bhava, what is sattva in the heart that transforms into these involuntary expression, the types, the snigdha, digdha, and the ruksha. The cause, we talked about how the sattva in the heart mixes with the prana, transforms the prana. The prana then goes throughout the body, and depending on what part of the body it interacts with, it creates these symptoms. We talked about the eight different sattvika bhavas, such as paralysis and tears and trembling, faltering of voice. The intensity, that it can be smoky, just one or two slight sattvika bhavas that can be concealed, all the way up to very brilliant five sattvika bhavas that cannot be concealed. And we talked about four false forms: a semblance of love, a semblance of emotion, the actor, and the enemies. And here we have again our very simplified chart. It's far more complex than this, but our very simplified chart of the Southern Ocean. Okay. So, I want us first to take a couple minutes to write in our, and then we're going to have a little bit of time for open questions. So, if you can just take about 2 minutes to write in your reflective journal, what are your reflections? What have you learned from the sattvika bhavas? So, we're going to just take 2 minutes for that. Please write your reflections or learning from this section on sattvika bhava. So 2 minutes for that, and then we will have some time for open questions.
Okay. Recording in progress.
Okay, so we have about 6 minutes left before we end. If there's any general questions on anything that we've discussed so far, especially today's class, but any questions on anything, we have 6 minutes. Anyone who wants to raise their hand?
I have a question.
Yes, Mahalakshmi.
When the devotee is absorbed in his love for Krishna and the mind absorbing it, comes in contact with the elements and then the symptoms. So those material elements the elements are becoming subservient, or material elements are becoming subservient of the devotee's love.
Yes.
Okay.
After all, the material elements are also, you know, Bhumira Pranalo Vayu, Kamano, Bhutarita, Chet. They're becoming spiritualized, aren't they? Like Prabhupada talks about.
That's why there is no coverings for the devotee. The yogi cannot cross the coverings of material nature, but the devotee is already in Goloka.
Very nice.
Well,
Advaita Krishna Prabhu. Thank you, Mahalakshmi.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I was wondering if you can comment, is it possible for someone like, you know, Sanghas, you know, to go on for years without experiencing any sort of these bhavas or even in the abhash form, because the inclination is mukhya, is more principally maybe jnana or even wanting to enjoy the things of bhakti like tarangarangini and not directly related to sthayi bhav.
Yeah, it is. So it's entirely possible to go on for years, decades, lifetimes, where, you know, you appear to be in bhakti and you're not. That's entirely possible. You know, it's unfortunate, but it is entirely possible. And if a devotee notices that, then they should. This is stated in the Bhagavatam, right? Those who are hard-hearted, even though that there's no change in the heart, even though they're engaged in hearing and chanting about the Lord. So that we should, I mean, at least we should have some abbas sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, we're around the great devotees, we're in festivals of the holy name. If we don't even get any shadow or reflection of love or any shadow or reflection of a heart change, there's a problem. And in that purport, Prabhupada talks mostly about offenses. You know, that if we're committing offenses. And what
it is so sad.
It is very unfortunate. My own personal experience with devotees is if they go for too long, if any of us go for too long without experiencing any spiritual emotions, then we'll try to enjoy the material rasas. And Jiva Goswami also says this in his Sandarbhas. But one of the main things that I'll see is devotees who start to make a habit of becoming very angry and critical of other devotees, often on public forums. And what they're trying to enjoy then are the secondary sthayi bhavs or the vyabhichari bhavs of things like anger, fear, and disgust. And so they'll be constantly angry at the devotees, fearful for the devotees, disgusted, oh, this devotee had this fall down, this devotee had that fall. And that's what they're relishing in, because we're an Anandamaya Vyasat, we have to relish something. We can't keep a desert. And so if we're not relishing spiritual emotions, at least in an abhas, and we're strict, so we're preventing ourselves from like gross sense gratification, then we're going to end up trying to relish the material shadows of these emotions. And yeah, you'll find these people who are, they're always angry at the devotees, they're always disgusted at the devotees. And
this is so deep, Mataji.
Yes.
This is so deep because it also makes us think, oh, we could be on the size of Mushtika and Chanura and Kamsa.
That's right. That's right. That's
this
right.
is deep. Thank you.
That's right. And it's, yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you brought this up. Thank you. Kamalini.
Thank you.
So one thing I'm thinking, there could be a danger the other side that somebody is genuine and we are judging them as being, you know, an actor or whatever. But besides that, what about, you know, like there's some devotees that are like incredible orators, they're great speakers, very entertaining, very engaging. Then I look at their life. And, you know, and also kirtaniers, especially amongst our younger generation. There's incredible kirtaniers when you're in their kirtan. It's very inspiring. You feel like really present. But I know their lifestyles, and I know many are not chanting 16 rounds, although they vowed to do that. For example, you know, another lifestyle, spending a lot of time watching movies, televisions, going to the restaurants. You know what I mean? So what about that? Like, you know, like we're being like judging like kind of observing, right? We're trying to observe what are the symptoms. So what do you say to that?
Well, I think you brought up two very important points. The first point is that we could assume someone's a pretender when they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could look at something that's genuine and think it's pretense. I was at a Rath Yatra a few years ago in Europe where one of the kirtan leaders, a sannyasi who has disciples, became like a piece of wood for 10 minutes. He had this stumba symptom for like 10 minutes. It was actually kind of amazing, you know. And I asked him about it the next day, and he said, oh, you know, I just he brushed it off. It was kind of interesting. As far as the fact that we can feel enlivened by people who have problems, we can feel genuinely enlivened by classes or kirtans from people who have problems. That doesn't mean they're pretenders. It just may mean that they're not that mature. And, you know, there's a statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, some people preach nicely and don't behave properly. Some people behave properly but don't preach nicely. And other people do both. And so we're always going to find that. We're always going to find people of high behavior who don't preach much, they don't lead kirtan, they're, you know. And then people who are very excellent preachers and still they have some anarthas. I'd like to refer you back to, in the Vibhava section, that one of the Alambana Ashraya is the Sadaka, who's a Majjhima devotee and who has developed some rati for Krishna. They have some awareness of their sthai bhav, but they still have an arthas. Prabhupada puts it that they're not free of the material impasse. Rupa says they still have an arthas. And those people can act as a stimulus in ecstatic love, even for the nichasiddha devotees. So even the nichasiddha devotees will find enlivenment by the asadika, who's a majjhima, and they still have some an arthas. And when I was reading that, I thought, oh, this explains why I will feel enlivened in a kirtan or a class of a devotee that I know has problems. And I might even know what the problems are. But still I can feel enlivened in my Krishna consciousness by them. And so, you know, it's. I think we also want to distinguish between just weakness and wickedness. You know, is a person wicked and they're a pretender, and they're just a professional trying for name and fame? Or are they a genuine devotee who's making progress and they still have some weakness to overcome? And then we have the Apichet Sucharacharo, and that will be gone in time. And that doesn't necessarily diminish the genuineness of the part of them that is. Because don't we all see this in ourselves? We see in ourselves that we have some genuine taste for Krishna. And at the same time, we see in ourselves that we have some attachments and we have some problems. And I see that they're both real. Our problems are real and our attachments are real. But thank you for bringing this up. It is after 7:30. I'll just take one more from Chaitanya Prema. I'm sorry, Rukmini. And then we'll have to end. Otherwise, I won't get Chaitanya's breakfast and I'll be very sad. So Chaitanya, and I didn't ask anyone to save any for me. Chaitanya Prema, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna.
I just want to know what should be my focus.
Oh, actually, I will ask Mahashringa Prabhu after you because he hasn't said anything yet. So go ahead.
As I said, what should be my focus? Should I focus on trying to develop some emotions, or I should focus on intensifying my devotional practices?
What about both? And you used the word, you said, what kind of practices? What kind of practices? What was the word you used?
Huh? I said sadaka.
My devotional practices, you said. I heard you use that word, yes?
Yes.
You said that, didn't you? Devotional practices. Devotion means emotion. Devotion means emotion. Mechanical practices... You know, Bhaktisiddhanta said mechanical practices are useless. So, I mean, sometimes Prabhupada will say, well, mechanical practices are better than nothing. But we want to, you know, okay, if all we can do is something mechanical, but that's not devotional service, that's just service. So let's work on doing our services and with emotion. Let's do both. And I will take Mahashringapuru, and then really I have to end, or I will have no breakfast today. And Chaitanya's cooking goes very fast. Mahashringa, can you?
Yes, Mataji, thank you. Nice class, yes. Very nice class, Mataji. But what I have experienced and my understanding is that we did not superficially or deeply get impressed by these external, manifestations, because it's very difficult to judge. But as Mataji mentioned, and we need to see the lifestyle. And the lifestyle carries a lot of weightage, and this is a spontaneous thing, which is, why shall we try for it? Once we are sincere and serious, it will manifest. It will, when the heart will melt and the heart will be soft and we'll have the devotional qualities, then this is obvious that it will manifest. So this is my simple understanding. Maybe if I'm wrong.
No. This is you hit the nail right on the head. And sounds like you have somebody playing drums on pots there.
Yeah.
you hit the nail right on the head. And Rukmini also brought up that this is a comprehensive system. We're not just looking at the sattvika bhavs. We're looking also at the anubhavs. And she mentioned the anubhavs in the previous. So this is a whole comprehensive system. All right, we've gone a few minutes over in our enthusiasm. So thank you very, 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 very much. And again, any way in which, any good that you've seen in this is due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Rupa Goswami. And any faults here are my own. Please do not take up any of my faults. And thank you very much, and we will see you next week with the Vyavitari Bhavs. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai.
Jai. Jai.